Lord, we pray that you would bring us onward more by your Spirit. We thank you for this heavenly mindset that our life is hidden with Christ in God. We want that this life would become even more apparent in us. Give us a word of life also now. Give us hearts that can accept your word. So wonderful to see that the Lord is coming soon. Last night we had a confirmation that he is really coming soon. We have to ask ourselves, Lord, what is it all about? What is really important? We know the time is, we don't have that much time left. So we have to ask the Lord, what's important today? Where are you going? How can I go on with you? How can we reach the goal with you? I'm asking that the Lord would really lead me. Lord, I want to live in your will. To redeem the time, Paul said. To redeem means you pay a price. It costs something. It's really easy to invest time in the world, but to invest in the kingdom, that really costs a price. He says the days are evil. And that moved me today to say, Lord, give me a wise heart. Give me an understanding heart that I can know your will. It's a very important aspect that we heard, to have a renewed mind. Why do we need a renewed mind? Paul says, so that we can understand what the will of God is. A renewed mind is very important in order to do God's will. Otherwise, we just do what we want, what our will is. That's why it's so important to see this difference. One aspect that I want to mention. Where the Spirit is, everything that is heavenly has to do with life. This is a characteristic that you can tell where the Spirit is working. You see this at the very beginning of creation, at the very beginning. You see God created heaven and earth, and then it says, and the earth was tohu abohu. It means in chaos, empty. But God didn't leave the earth in this state after his judgment. It says, the Spirit of God was brooding over the water, was hovering over the water. Why? Because the Spirit wanted to bring forth life. And then you see the whole story of creation, the 6 days where God is working. It all has a goal. He wants to bring forth life. When you start on the first day, God first divided light from dark. This separation is important. It's important to separate light from dark, otherwise life cannot come forth. The second day, he separated again heavens and earth. You need the waters in the sky and the waters in the earth. Otherwise, we would all live in the desert. God's wisdom is really wonderful. How does water from the ocean get over the land to water the crops? We need the atmosphere. God's wisdom is so wonderful. How it takes, he has the water above and the water below. Because every living being needs water. It needs water to live. And then God separates again. He separates the land from the ocean. Otherwise, there's no life. So another separation took place. You see, this was the third day. And then on the third day, you see how wonderful the Lord is, already grass can grow on the land that he separated. The first form of life is grass growing on the earth. And see how God had to separate things to create the prerequisites for life to grow. The goal was to bring forth life. And then it says, on the fourth day, there was still he had to separate day and night. And then he created the sun and the moon and the stars. You also need these things for life on earth. Otherwise, we don't have day and night. That'll be hard, right? The Lord made everything so wonderful. And it was on the fifth day. The Lord had to separate for 4 days. And it wasn't until the fifth day that the first living creatures were created in the ocean. So the ocean should have fish. On the fifth day, the sea creatures were created. So we see how the Lord had to prepare everything to bring forth life in the sea. But that isn't enough for him. God continues to work, praise the Lord. It's not enough just to make the fishes and the sea creatures. On the sixth day, he created the animals. This is a higher form of life. He created the animals on the earth, on the ground, on the land. All of the prerequisites, everything that the Lord did, you have to say, the Lord did as a prerequisite for our life. Because at the end of the sixth day, God created man in his image. So the Lord created the greatest form of life, man, according to his image. And if the Lord had not created the animals, we couldn't live. There was a study done, right? If the bees went extinct, we would all also be extinct within 10 years. Or take away the worms. You think, without worms, our life form would not be sustainable on earth. They are continuously renewing the soil that our food grows from. If you take one thing away, you take one piece away and the whole creation collapses. Life needs a lot of investment. The Lord shows how much he must invest to create this wonderful life of man and that this life of man is sustainable on earth. The last step, he sets man into the Garden of Eden in front of the tree of life. Now, what is God planning? He wants to put his life, his divine life, into this man he created. It's so wonderful to see that all of creation has this goal to make God and to fill them with their life, with God's life. I thought recently, Lord, your ways are so wonderful. Open my eyes more for your working. Everything that God does has a goal. God wants to bring forth this wonderful life. And you know, we all know how much life needs to be taken care of. There's so much supply. First, you need a division, a separation. What is bad for life? What can harm life? We teach it to the children already. We teach them what can harm them. Yeah. You wouldn't take cleaning chemicals, a bottle of cleaning chemicals, and put it next to the water bottle of the child. You would never do that. We have to take care of their life. It has to learn to discern what is good for me, what is bad for me, what can harm my life, and what is good for my life. And God's wisdom is so good. In all of his commandments that he gave, they all were given for furthering life and to protect his people from death. He said, I lay before you life and death. Choose life. It's so glorious how God made everything. Even there, we see that God had the purpose for his people to live, that his people would be a living people where the river of life can flow through it. It's so wonderful. And we see at the end of the heavenly Jerusalem, the center of this city. What's the center of the city of Jerusalem? What's the middle point? The throne. The throne of God is the middle point of the city. And what comes from the throne? The river of life. And you know, we have to see as this earthly life, as the Lord shows us how life on earth needs so much supply to allow growth, we must see our spiritual life is the same. It needs much supply to grow. We learn in our earthen life to take heed to what is good and what is not good. Yeah, if the parents bring up their children in a good way, the children learn that. Sometimes they have to make their own experience. They learn by, yeah, I told my son, never ride your bike without a helmet. Be careful. But because his friends were there, he became overzealous. He took his sister's bike, raced off, went over the curb and flipped over in the air. The Lord was faithful and protected him. But he was not wearing a helmet when this happened. I hope he learned his lesson. Sometimes we have to learn lessons the hard way. Yeah, if someone telling you what to do isn't enough, then you must learn it through difficulties. I hope we don't always learn through emergency situations. It takes time, and it takes costs a lot of time, and it takes a lot of energy. What I want to say is we need to learn to take heed to our spiritual life in us. We need to have a differentiation for the heavenly spiritual life. We should descend. We should be born from above. And this life in us also needs to be taken care of. It needs a supply. We need to take care of it, take heed for it to grow. Unfortunately, for this life, we don't take care of it that much, that well. Yeah, we take care of our bodies because our bodies reacts to pain. When our body shows pain, we know it's time to react. But in our spiritual life, often we lack a feeling what it means for our spiritual life not to be harmed. There are many examples in the scripture that show us this. One example. 2 Kings chapter 4, 38 to 39. It's about Elisa. Elisha. It's about Elisha. In 2 Corinthians 4, Elisha was talking with the sons of the prophets, and it was a time of a famine. And the prophets were with him, and Elisha said, the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said to the servant, verse 38, put on a large pot and boil stew for the sons of the prophets. So one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered it from it a lapful of wild gourds and came and sliced them into the pot, wild gourds. And he came and sliced them into the pot of stew, though they did not know what they were. They did not know what they were. They didn't know these vines or this food. This sentence, this phrase is very important. He didn't know it, but still he took it and sliced it and put it in his stew. And then they served it to the men to eat. Now it happened as they were eating the stew that they cried out and said, man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat it. It was a poisonous plant that they had put in their stew. And the boy who went, he didn't take heed to this. It was so dangerous that they said they probably could have died from eating the stew. And what did Elisha do? He said, then bring some flour. And he put it into the pot and said, serve it to the people that they may eat it. And there was nothing harmful in the pot. So what we see here, we need to take heed to what we eat spiritually. Don't take every wild vine to eat that you find. We need to take heed. Sometimes it looks like a gourd, a pumpkin, but it's not a pumpkin. In this case, it was poisonous. Often we don't have a differentiation for this. We don't have a feeling for this. We just eat everything that is set before us. We need to know what is the source, and we should not eat what we do not know. We need to take heed to our spiritual life this way. What I can tell you, the best source is always the Word, guaranteed never to be harmful. It is the best supply for this life. Take the Word of the Lord. We should never leave the Word. At the beginning, it's milk, and later, it's solid food. It's so wonderful. That's why we need to learn. The Word should never leave us. Recently, a brother said he reads the Word in the morning, and then he leaves the Bible open on his table so that he can eat from it throughout the day. This should be our normal status, our normal condition. But we need to take heed of other sources that we don't know. Don't just eat everything. Swallow everything you hear. You know, and you could ask ChatGPT. People today, they turn off their brains and they just ask ChatGPT for the answers. And they talk some sort of hallucinated nonsense and they believe it. Recently, I asked ChatGPT about Muhammad. The thing told me, Muhammad is a prophet, peace be with him. Is a prophet, peace. And I thought, oh gosh. Such a lying system. I was shocked. It's astonishing. We need to take heed to what we take into us. Our source of life is the Lord Himself, and the supply of life is through His Word. The Lord says Himself, He is our life. And we can never leave this source. You know, what I noticed is that when you nourish yourself with these things outside of the Lord, you start to lose your taste for life, really. You start to lose your taste for life. I don't know how to explain it. First, you need to learn what life tastes like. That's the first point. You need to gain a taste, develop a taste for life. You have to develop this taste first. Because why? In Zion, where the nourishment of the Lord is, in His Word, and the relationship of the Lord, there you have to develop a taste for life. But you can lose your taste for life. We need to keep our taste pure. That's why a separation is often healthy and good. In all of the story of the creation, God is separating things that are harming life. And in my life, it must be the same. I must separate things that are good for my life and things that are harmful for my life. Not supply myself with false sources. If once I nourish myself with a false source and I realize death comes forth, then I will not nourish myself from this source anymore. The boy who took these wild gourds, he certainly will never eat those again. We need to cut off the sources that bring death. Whether it's a YouTube preacher or books or other religious gatherings, whatever. Maybe you like the taste of it there. It could be like you acquire a taste for these kinds of things. Before I was in Zion, I could listen to anything, everything. I even read a book about the Pope. And I thought it wasn't bad. Right? He talks about Christ, does he not? But I didn't know life, and I didn't ask about the source. In YouTube, there are thousands of preachers. I used to listen to many. But when you have tasted life and you grow, then you notice you can't swallow it anymore. You can't take it down. Today, I wouldn't. Today, I cannot listen to it. It makes me nauseous. It makes me want to throw, you know, it's not good. We need, especially when it's about coming to full maturity, we need to take heed to this life. Life has to come to maturity. Life has to grow. Life has to come to completion. And for that, we need to develop a fine sense to take heed to this. We need to be very careful with our life that we take care of it and take care of our mouth, what comes out of it. It's interesting, right? James says our tongues can do both. It can be a source for sweetness and for bitterness. It's amazing. One source, two outcomes. Death or life can come forth. And it shouldn't be like this, he says. That's why we need to take heed. The more I nourish myself with things that kill me, the more my mouth will spread things that kill. If I once entered into this death, the death will spread out from me. I cannot nourish myself with death and then expect life to come forth out of my mouth. That doesn't work that way. That's why he says, sweet and bitter should not come out of the same source. Our mouth should become a source for life. The Lord said, out of our inner man's streams of living water shall flow. And this should always flow out of us. Today, if we want to reach perfection, if we want to reach full maturity, we need to take heed with what I speak. How I speak to my wife, how I speak with my children, how I raise up my children. Recently, I read in Ephesians where Paul says, chapter 6, train up your children in the Lord. And admonishing and instruction of the Lord. It all has to happen in the Lord. Then it is life. We need to learn to do everything in the Lord. Then it's life. Outside of Christ, our life should simply not take place. We should say, Lord, a life without you is impossible. With you, without you, I cannot go on. I want to do everything in you. Even when I eat, I want to eat with you. Everything we have to learn to do with the Lord, then life will really come forth out of us. Then our speaking will be a speaking that brings forth life. And this is my desire, that we take heed to this. That Zion can really be a place where individual streams come together to form one stream. That those who come here dead leave alive. That's how it should be here. The characteristic of Zion is that there is life there. The characteristic of Babylon is it is dead. We need to taste this difference. There has to be life here, then you know the Lord is here. Because where the throne of God is, the water flows forth. So it's so clear for us, Lord, let your life really flow through us, flow in us. Amen.